versus the Illinois Department of Corrections. Mr. Kajewski.
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning. I'm Phil Kryeski, and represent the appellant here, Alan Timms. This is an appeal from a grant of summary judgment in a discrimination case, a gender discrimination case, that resulted in the termination from the Department of Corrections of Mr. Tim, who was a correctional sergeant and had been for 13 years, back over an incident on November 4th, 2003, at the institution in Dwight. The main issue on appeal here is whether there was similarly situated females that were involved in this incident that were treated differently. And in that incident, we contend there were. There was a female correctional officer, Barbara Hoffmeyer, who was there on the scene and directly involved, and she got a 10-day suspension at the end of the proceeding. There was also a medically trained individual, Janice Miller, who received no discipline at all. Now, in this incident, it was quite a tragic and serious ending to it. The inmate, Kimberly Davis Bills, developed a medical problem on the morning of November 4th, which resulted in, next day, her death. We contend that all three of the individuals that I've mentioned here are similarly situated because they all had the same role, that of being responsible for her care. The facts of that day were that 10:30, Davis came back from a disciplinary meeting and was fine. Nothing was observed there. Sometime in the time frame's a little bit fuzzy, but sometime between 11 and 12 that morning, she reported to Hoffmeyer, the correctional guard, that she was dizzy and needed medicine. Hoffmeyer reported this to Tim, and Mr. Tim said, you know, check with the nurse and report that, and then relay whatever the nurse says to Davis. That was done. Now, in checking with Miller, Miller did not go and see Davis nor request that Davis be brought to the infirmary. She just said, elevate her legs, and there was no medicine that was dispensed whatsoever. Right around, a little bit after that, around noon, Tim went and actually looked into the cell and saw Davis. At that point, Davis was on the floor, and as if she had a seizure. No evidence that she was having one now. And he asked if she was okay. She said yes, and she waved her hand. Yes, the cellmate in there also said that she was okay. Later on, the cellmate said that she had fabricated the medical situation, which obviously did not turn out to be true, but that was the knowledge that people had.
With Tim's reference to a seizure, it's almost as if that's a common occurrence, and whenever they have a seizure, you just let them rest and get up. Is that a misnomer?
Inmates do have seizures there, and with what regularity? I can't discuss that.
I find that a seizure is not just somebody got a tummy ache. I'm just curious what that is, a seizure as opposed to what apparently was a stroke.
Yeah, it ended up that she died of a stroke, but I don't think any of the personnel knew whether she had an epileptic seizure or what.
But a seizure isn't enough to open the door, though.
It looked like the seizure was over, and the people with seizures apparently will remain on the floor, and particularly in a situation like this where she was on the top bunk, and for to put her back on the top bunk, if she had another seizure, I mean, she's better off on the floor, and that would be why she would be on the floor at that point.
I can't imagine putting somebody on the top bunk just had a seizure. But what about Hoffmeyer, when did she find out that apparently the deceased, whatever her name is, had actually fallen off the toilet?
That was later, toward 2 o'clock that day, as I read the record.
Who told her that?
I believe that at that point there was an individual that had come through that wing to take inmates to the infirmary, And they went in there, and Davis, at that point, that's where the information came from.
Well, apparently also the cellmate, roommate, whatever they call him, seemed to be the main witness about who said what when. And she claims to have been yelling and doing all sorts of things.
Well, what happened after Tim looked in early in the morning, or right around noon, the only time that he was there twice. He looked in, and at that point he was told everything was okay by both people in the room. He went about his routine business, which took him away from the area. The person that was left there was Hoffmeyer. Hoffmeyer made rounds in the two wings that she was responsible for, and she saw every cell every 20 minutes. So she would have been the one who would have been there every 20 minutes from that time on until 2 o'clock, making whatever observations she made. Tim did not have any more calls about Davis after he left. Tim did get a call just around 2 o'clock from another correctional person who was there to take people to sick call or to the infirmary, and Davis was going to go. Davis, it was reported to him, was not clothed at that time. And so he went over to see what was going on. He goes into the cell at that point and finds her unresponsive.
Well, see, your problem is, I mean, whatever, there's a lot of different views about what who did what. Your problem is that Tim got fired and Hoffmeyer didn't. She only got 10-day suspension. And you're saying there's a discrimination on the basis of sex because she got she was similarly situated and was treated much better.
That's correct.
Because when you, as you know, there's a lot of discrepancies about who said what and who did what and how much and whether Tim said things or didn't say them. If you look at was it Conklin or something like that?
The assistant warden, yes.
He wanted both of them fired. The investigator said both of them ought to be fired. Ultimately, Hoffmeyer got 10 days suspension and Tim got fired. And I guess I'd appreciate you just focus on that because you can say what he did and didn't do. But if you look at one view of it, he should have been fired.
Conklin did equate the two and found that they were substantially, you know.
Now, I'd like to know what this case is really all about. Is it about the extent of the differential between her punishment and his punishment? She ends up with 10 days, he gets fired. If she'd gotten 300 days, would we still have a case? Or,
yes, Your Honor.
Or is the problem that he got fired? And is it appropriate to hold him to a higher standard because he's an experienced supervisor and she's just a guard, or what?
I'm
sure I understand exactly what the problem is that we're supposed to be focused on here.
The problem we see is that he did get terminated, and he actually had less culpability than the female in this case because he saw her at noon.
Well, you're talking about all these details now, but I'm talking about he's an experienced supervisor and she's not. Doesn't that make a difference as to how they get treated when somebody dies in the cell?
Not in this case, Your Honor. I understand the case law about supervisors being differently situated from non-supervisors, but in this case...
Well, if you're running a prison, you certainly have to take that point of view, it would seem to me.
Well, in this case...
You hold your supervisors to a standard, don't you? I don't.
Well, you do have to hold them to a standard, but it also depends on what that supervisor knows. And you have the lady who gets 10-day suspension after he's terminated, who is actually his eyes and ears and who is there on the ground to report everything. She had the ability to go into the cell. She had the ability to contact the infirmary after any time during that period of time without checking with Tim. The thing is, and the facts show, that whatever she was doing every 20 minutes never got reported back to Tim until 2 o'clock. And so his termination was based upon knowledge at 12 where everybody said it was okay, and then he finds her unresponsive. The lady that gets suspended was there on the spot the entire time. And
yeah, I don't want to interrupt, but what I've really got to focus on here is, and I guess when you have an opportunity to give your view of it, how did one, did Hoffmeier, the union intervene, there are grievances. Everybody's got a grievance. The nurse and Hoffmeier avoid grievance because they did some sort of negotiation with the union or whatever, and they got diverted, and one got one day and one got 10 days suspension. Why didn't Tim get the same opportunity to negotiate some sort of a settlement, or did he? Because he went on to arbitration, and then the arbitrator, that's, you know, he's the only arbitrator, only dealt with him, and he gets fired. Now, what's the disparity, if there is any, seems to be in how they were treated. And it seems to be a big gap. I don't even know who made the decision to fire him.
After the recommendations for termination of Hoffmeier and Tim, that went into the department, and the department decided at that point to terminate Tim. And to at that point, Hoffmeier was reduced down to a 15-day suspension.
You say at that point. What point was that?
At the point the report went to the Department of Corrections.
So the department determined that she gets 15 days.
15 days.
Point.
She got a suspension and not term. That's where the decision.
How did that happen? Why did somebody then, that's the juncture when somebody made a distinction, a big distinction, that she only was going to get a suspension and he was going to get fired.
That's correct.
And then, I don't think that was the arbitrator. He only looked at him. So it comes down to somebody making this decision, and that's who you are saying discriminated on the basis of sex.
Right. That was the department.
Well,
after the recommendation came forward for two terminations.
But I don't see anything in the record about what the department made, who made the decision, or why they made it.
The record does not go into that.
So what are we supposed to do? You want to send it back for more, somebody to explore that? Or to...
Well,
should the court have looked into that?
We're asking for a reversal because of the disparity between similarly situated individuals.
No summary judgment.
You're right. Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah.
And opportunity to try this on the material facts of whether or not the discrimination occurred because there was a disparity in the treatment between the genders.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Kajewski. Mr. Siegel?
Good morning, and may it please the Court. Counsel, I'm Assistant Attorney General Evan Siegel, and represent the Illinois Department of Corrections. Your Honors, summary judgment was the right result here. There is no disputed issue of material fact that Sergeant Tim was discriminated against because he was a man. Quite to the contrary, the record shows, and Sergeant Tim concedes, that he was fired because he acted negligently in a derogation of his supervisory duties when this tragedy occurred. Given that, there are two reasons for this court to affirm the district court. First, Tim has failed to establish prima facie case of discrimination. And second, even if he has, he can't show pretext. On the prima facie case, there are three reasons, each one of them sufficient and independent to affirm the district court. And I'll begin with background circumstances. This case is an unusual Title VII case because Tim is a Caucasian male claiming reverse discrimination. This court has held in many cases, such as Gore versus Indiana University, and Anikin versus Ameritech, that in this circumstance, the plaintiff must meet a heightened burden of proof. He must show that there are background circumstances with the employer or something fishy that's going on. And typically, as examples, this court has said, this occurs when a man discriminates against a man in favor of a woman or an African-American in favor of an African-American.
Maybe you can just jump ahead, because I know there's a lot of disparity in the facts here, who did what and when and all that. I have the same question I finished up there with your opponent. Who made the decision to take Hoffmeier off the hook, basically, and Tim to remain on?
Judge Mannion, As you suggested, there was no discovery taken on that point.
Is that something that needs to be?
Not at all. No.
How do we review? Because that's the only curiosity, I guess, I have in this case.
In March of 2004, after the investigation was conducted, and the hearing officer, Conklin, made his recommendation for termination, the department, unnamed individuals in the department, as opposing counsel refers to them, made the decision to downgrade Officer Hoffmeyer.
Why?
I think it's implicit in the record, as the court has suggested, that they were not similarly situated at all. That aspect of the prima facie case has not been
made.
Maybe
they weren't similarly situated, but were they dissimilarly situated to the extent of 10 days or whatever it is versus getting fired?
Well, to be sure, Officer Hoffmeyer's conduct was not faultless, but the two did not share
a common... Well, it certainly wasn't.
But this court has held recently in the Foss case that to be similarly situated, you must have a comparable set of failings. And on the similarly situated element, there are three distinct reasons why these two individuals were not similarly situated at all, Judge Cudahy. First, they did not have the same supervisor. That's an essential aspect of any position of being similarly situated. In many
well,
of this...
We don't, that's another question, though. We don't know who supervises both of them. And did that person make the decision?
Well, we know that Tim was Hoffmeyer's supervisor.
We know that, yeah. But somebody, he's apparently got a boss.
Certainly.
And in fact, he was meeting with the assistant warden or something or other for something. I know there's lots of disparity about him talking about a Christmas party, but somebody made this decision at the juncture of suspension and termination.
And we know that it was made by the department in Springfield, and that it went.
And that's the person, if there's anybody who discriminates, is the one that would have made that, done that.
Yeah, well, the defendant here is the department. Presumably, whoever made that decision made it on behalf of the department, and presumably, I think we can infer that the decision went pretty high, went up to the top offices of the department in Springfield. But the supervisor-supervisee distinction is critical. This court has said in the Ajahi case that two individuals are not materially similar if one is the supervisor and the other is the supervisee.
Wait a minute. Hoffmeyer, they were both seeing the same thing. Both of them had the same, we'll call it negative reaction. Depending on who you believe, either the cellmate or the various people are going by saying who said what and didn't do this and that. And Conkling says both of them should get the boot. He looked at it. He was the investigator. Somehow after that, the department put somebody in a decision-making position, and one says Hoffmeyer gets a suspension, started out at 15 days, but there was something about it had to go to arbitration. It was 15 days, so they cut it down to 10. And with Tim, he's fired. Now, one could say, you know, we can't fire Hoffmeyer because this is a women's prison. We're having a hard time finding enough women to work there, so we got to keep her. What if somebody said that? We don't know what the reason was.
There's nothing in the record
I know.
To indicate
there's
that.
Nothing in the record.
And it's the plaintiff's burden of proof to come up with evidence of pretext, and he hasn't done that.
So it's a failure of proof, and that's the problem, and they lose because they just didn't come up with that information.
Well, it's pure speculation and conjecture.
That's all we got.
That's not enough to satisfy the summary judgment.
But that's enough
standard.
To affirm the summary judgment. Even though there's that gap, that's tough. He didn't... The lawyer did not get it together, didn't do that discovery, didn't ask this same question that I'm asking and dig into it and present it to the court. Therefore, he loses.
Yes, and there's a lot of implicit information in the record that they're not
similarly situated. I just want to know what the position is because that seems to be what the case is about.
And they were not similarly situated. They did not have the same reactions that day. And I think that...
Yeah, but you're talking about facts.
I'm sorry?
You're talking about facts, about reaction, and who did what, and everything else.
But there's no...
All we got is Conkling the investigator?
And his recommendation was, I think, taking into account the severity of the circumstances.
In both
and it was, and when that decision, that's merely a recommendation that doesn't bind department. It was refined at a higher level because these two individuals were not similarly situated.
Well, this, it wasn't refined; it was radically changed.
It was, and it's reasonable that it was. Tim is the supervisor; he's the sergeant. He's subject to a different set of standards.
Well, I think that's a valid argument, but I don't know whether it justifies the ultimate outcome. I mean, I think this is a very unusual case, and that we have to be careful about what we say about it.
Absolutely, Judge Cudahy. But on a prima facie case, you have to establish all four elements. Tim fails three of them. In this court's Gore case, summary judgment was affirmed when the plaintiff could not meet the first factor of background circumstances or something fishy. All the plaintiff did in that case was point to another individual who wasn't punished as severely as he was, which is what Tim is saying here. And in that case, this court said, that's not background circumstances. You have a heightened responsibility in a reverse discrimination case, and didn't even go on to address the remaining three factors or pretext. Tim can't establish pretext either.
You say a reverse discrimination case. You mean it had been the other way around, it wouldn't be the same? If the woman got fired and the man hadn't, it wouldn't be the same standard?
No, it wouldn't, Your Honor. This court has said in Gore, in Eichen, Haig, and Preston that the first factor is different in reverse discrimination cases, that there's a heightened standard.
In a women's prison, why is it different? Why are men and women treated differently than their supervisors?
Well,
when the women in a men's prison have won all those cases, saying that they have every right to be a guard in a men's prison. I, frankly, was surprised that they do have men guards in the women's prisons, to be blunt about it, but then I haven't been that close to a prison.
Men and women aren't treated differently in the Department of Corrections. Indeed, there was a male officer on duty that day, Officer Ford, who was in the control panel, and he falsified his report just as Hoffmeyer and Tim did, and he got an initial 10-day suspension, less than Hoffmeyer. Tim here is unable to show pretext because he's conceded in his brief that there was a legitimate and non-discriminatory reason for his firing. Given that, it's very difficult for him to now say that reason was a lie or a falsehood. And he hasn't shown any evidence that there's anything in the record suggesting that the reason for the termination was other than good faith. For all of these reasons, Your Honors, we respectfully request that the Court affirm the judgment of the District Court. Thank you.
You may have an additional 2 minutes. No, we don't have a mic.
I think at this point, after having heard counsel address the facts and law here, that the point that we want to make and stress to the court is that there was pretext shown in this case. Although reasons came forward for the dismissal of Mr. Tim, the department and these unnamed people at the department have never advanced the reason for the disparity in the treatment of Hoffmeyer and Tim and Miller. So they really haven't made a full explanation of a legitimate reason for what happened in this case.
Excuse me. What about Judge Mayen's inquiry about the depth or the lack thereof on discovery here with regard to the department's actions? Was any attempt made to get into who the real decision makers were here at the department?
Your Honor, I didn't have the case at that point. I can't respond to you on that.
But you have to see. You see the gap, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I see that the unnamed people of the department made a decision which was totally...
And we don't know why. No one's asked them why. We don't have any information to know why she was treated differently. When you get over to pretext, all you have to do is look at the facts in the report and say, yeah, the guy ought to be fired. It's a legitimate non... non-discriminatory reason unless you find out that basically what we're really looking at is why Hoffmeyer wasn't fired.
Well, that's correct. And
because it's obvious why he was fired.
And that's why we're waiting after we've made the case. We're waiting. The legitimate reason given is that Mr. Tim did this and this and this. But the unnamed people at the department have not come forward with a legitimate explanation as to...
Well, they don't have to because nobody's asking to.
The totality of it. Well, once we show the disparity in the treatment of genders...
Well, we're asking all the questions.
We're at that point, and they haven't come forward.
Then what do we do at that point? Yeah, I mean, the issue seems to be not what happened to Tim, but what happened to Hoffmeyer.
Well, I think that we can conclude there's pretext in the situation. And
pretext.
That he was fired because of his gender, and
was fired because he didn't do his job.
Well,
that's the fact. But why wasn't she fired? And that's why you keep backing up into this problem of somebody made a decision not to fire her for whatever reason, even though Conkling recommended that she be fired. That based on a certain set of facts, she was just as negligent as he was. They talk about similarly situated. Well, no, they're not overlays, but both of them could have done something about it. This woman is lying there for 4 hours with a stroke, and they should have and didn't. But we're not going to know that.
Well, I guess at this point the question is why wasn't Mr. Tim given 15-day suspension?
Well,
why wasn't he treated equally as the female in the case? And that's why I say there is pretext because of that situation.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.